version of the hymnal, whatever you want to call it. It says, "Our wonder, our victory." Can you hear me now? Everybody got me? All right. Ron, can you hear me? Oh, praise the Lord. How many of you heard about the elderly couple in Pigeon Forge? Went on the chopper ride. You know, they got that little thing, you know, where you can walk up. It's, you know, you pay like $50 and they'll take you up in the chopper and they'll take you around the city and show you all the sights and the view, all that stuff. Everybody know that? Anybody hear about the older couple that went up to do that? They had went year after year after year after year, and the old man had stayed there and he wanted to do it. His wife kept telling him that it's $50. And he said, "Yeah, but I mean, you know, we're not going to, I mean, you know, we're just not going to have the chance to do it much." So he kept asking and begging and begging and begging. And she said, "Honey, $50 is $50. We just can't do it." So they finally went back this year and they went up. And so they walked up and the same guy was flying the chopper. He said, "Look, you guys have been here for the past 5 or 6 years. I tell you what I'll do. I'll take you up and I'll give it to you for free if you won't say a word." And he's one of those trick pilots and does the flips and the stunts and all that stuff. He said, "But you can't say a word. If you won't speak, you can have the ride for free." So she said, "All right, go ahead." So they both got in, went up. Of course, he did all of his flips and flops and stuff. And they went around this one thing and he turned that thing over. And his wife fell out. And they just kept riding and riding and riding. He was hanging on, hanging on, hanging on. They finally landed. The guy looked back. He said, "Where's your wife?" He said, "Well, she fell out." He said, "Why didn't you say nothing?" He said, "$50 is $50. Turn to Matthew chapter 7 this morning. Matthew chapter 7. A little boy told his mama, he said, "Mama, I want a bicycle for Christmas this year." She said, "Well, son, you better go write Jesus a letter and ask him to give you a bicycle for Christmas." So he went in his room and got his pencil and paper out. He said, "Jesus, I've been a good little boy this year." And then he stopped and he thought for a minute and he said, "Well, no, I better not put that." So he wadded it up, threw it away, got another piece of paper out, started back. Said, "Dear Jesus, I've really tried to be a good little boy this year. And I'd really like a new bicycle." And he thought, "I really hadn't done that either." So he wadded it up, threw it away, and he started thinking. He went out to his mom and said, "Mom, I got to go for a walk." She said, "Why?" And so the kid said, "Well, I'm, you know, kind of having a hard time figuring out what I need to write in this letter. So I just need to get out and think a little bit." So she said, "All right, go ahead." So he went out, and he's walking down the road, and he passed by the local Catholic church, and he saw it. And so he went inside and saw all those little statues, you know, the statues and stuff. They got in there, and he walked up, and he saw this little statue of Mary, you know, holding Jesus and stuff. So he picked it up and looked at it, and he thought, "I got it." So he went back home, and he sat down, and he wrote out his letter and said, "Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again, I want a new bicycle for Christmas." Always helps to tell a joke, doesn't it? Hello? Matthew chapter 7, we'll start reading verse number 12. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 12. "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." This is not the golden rule. This is the law and the prophets. Verse 13. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Whenever I read that verse, I've kind of got a picture in my head of Satan walking down this broad way and this wide gate, and he's walking and he's got this little flute, you know, he's the Pied Piper and he's playing it, and all these people are following him in a straight line, and they're just following him down this road to hell and this march to hell, and they're all just mesmerized by his flute playing, you know, and he's just doing all this nice sounds and all this kind of stuff, and they just keep following him. And I can picture that in my head when I read that passage, and I always think this old preacher back in the woods back home. He was I don't even know what kind of a preacher he was. He was a Baptist preacher, but I really don't know what flavor of Baptist he was. You know, there's tons of them. But he had this old grovelly voice. He talked like this right here, you know, and he's a little short fella. And he said, He was talking about Satan leading these people down the wrong road, and he said, this march to hell. And he said, and the devils are leading the march, you know. And that passage makes me think of Satan just walking along, and people are blindly following him. They have no idea what's going on. Because 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. And so they're walking along and they're following him down the wrong path. And they have no idea what's going on. And every now and then you need a soul winner that'll jump in front of them in that path with a stop sign and slap them in the face and say, stop! And get them to stop and kind of get them, you know, to kind of snap out of that trance they're in and realize, I'm going the wrong way. That's what happened to me, anyway. I mean, I had somebody get in front of me and say, you're going the wrong way. You're going to hell. Stop. And it kind of made me come out of that trance I was in. And I was finally able to see, hey, Christ died for me. Not just for everybody else, but hey, he died for me too. And I took him as my Savior, and it made it real for me. But there's people that are following, and they're following, and they're following, and they're following, and they have no idea where they're going to wind up at. The strange woman in Proverbs chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, right around in through there's different chapters that deal with that strange woman, and it says that her end is death. Her end is death. Her end is destruction. And people have no idea what they're doing. Proverbs 14, 12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Death. I mean, that's what's waiting on them at the end of this thing. And, I mean, they don't even realize it. Some of you were the same way, walking along, had no idea what was going on. You just following somebody. Listen, everybody's following somebody. Everybody's following somebody. You're following somebody. I mean, you can get up and say, I'll stand on my own 2 feet. No, you don't. You're following somebody. Somebody taught you how to say that. Somebody taught you how to say, well, I'm going to stand on my own 2 feet. You heard that on TV. You heard that on some stupid Iron Man show or something. I'm going to stand on my own 2 feet. No, you're following somebody. Everybody's following somebody. Question is, who are you following? I mean, you can follow all kinds of different people, all kinds of different things, but you're following somebody. Okay? These kids, you know, like, well, I'm tired of mom and dad telling me what to do. I'm gonna join the military. Nobody gonna tell me what to do. And it's, you know, day one, you know, it's like, I didn't sign up for this, you know. My dad's told me that before, you know. He went down, this was back in the 60s, and he didn't want to get drafted. He said, so he decided to just go down and sign up. So he went out and signed up for the Marine Corps, and he got in there. And he was a homebody. He was a mama's boy. To this day, he's still mama's rose. And so he went down there, he signed up, he said, you know, they told me, he said, yeah, you know, with your knowledge and background of working on vehicles, you know, you'll probably wind up in the motor pool working, you know. And so he said, oh, hey, great, you know, and he got up there, you know, and he signed up, and he went up there and got on the bus, and they shipped him off to boot camp. The bus ride was fine, and, you know, everybody was nice. And he got off that bus. I mean, the second his feet touched the ground, man, they're in his face screaming at him, slapping him, get on the ground, you blah, blah, you call him all kinds of names. He said, wait, I was told I was supposed to be in the motor pool. They said, ain't no motor pool here, buddy, get down. And so he started following somebody because he knew he had to follow somebody. If you're in warfare, you're following somebody. You have corporals, you have sergeants, you have lieutenants, you have captains, you have chiefs, you have anything. You're always following somebody. You're always following somebody. If you're 95 years old this morning, you're following someone. You're going to follow somebody. And it's been said in time past that in order to be a great leader, you must first learn how to be a great follower. You need to learn how to follow before you can learn how to lead. It's all part of the process. You need to learn how to follow somebody before you can be a good leader. There's nothing wrong with following the right person as long as they're going the right way. Amen? Let's see, what time is it? It's about 11:25 or so. Brother Joe's getting up to preach about right now, and this is the morning where he's supposed to preach, and they're going to vote on him. So why don't we have a word of prayer for him before we get going further? Father, thank you for this time. And Lord, we're grateful to be here, and I pray you'd bless this morning, bless our service. I pray, Father, you bless Brother Joe as he stands this morning. Calm him, and Lord, help him to have a good service there. I pray you'd help him to stand and preach your word, fill him with your spirit, and use him for your glory. Bless his family, and bless our service here. Father, help me to preach this morning, and give me the words to say, and fill me with your spirit that I might be able to speak what you'd have me to speak. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. In order to be a great leader, you got to be a great follower. Like I said, everybody's following somebody. And there's nothing wrong with following somebody as long as they're going in the right direction. Years ago, whenever we first moved down to Florida to go to school in 2002, we took a trip down there. We decided, maybe it was June or July, we decided, you know, we're going to take a trip down there. We want to go see this school, see what it's all about, you know. So we drive down there, you know. Well, the night before we drove down there, we got this phone call. And it was, you know, somebody that was mad at me for leaving and all this kind of stuff. And they said, you ain't doing nothing but following a man. And for some reason, that bothered me. I thought, no, I mean, you know, I think I'm following Christ. But it kind of made me think a little bit. Well, you're just following a man. You're just following a man. What are you people doing that are here in this church? You know what you're doing? You're following a man. You're following a man. You're following the guy that stands up here and preaches the book to you. You're following him. Do you agree with his teachings? Maybe not all of them, but most of them, some of them. I mean, he says 9 out of 10 ain't bad, right? But you're following his teachings. Half of you got his reference Bible. You know what you're doing? You're following him. You're following him. Is that wrong to do? Is that wrong to follow him? As long as he's bringing you to Jesus Christ, it's not wrong to follow him. Now, if he strays off the path, then you don't follow him down that path. You go down the right path. Bob Jones Sr. said, it's all right to follow a man down the right path as far as you can go with him. But when he steps off of the right path, you stay on the right path and let him go off. But you stay going in the straight path. You stay going in the right way. There's nothing wrong with following somebody. Nothing wrong with it. People got this vendetta. You know, it's all, well, you're just following a man. You're just following a man. And I'm sitting here thinking, you're doing the same thing. As a matter of fact, you said that to me because you've heard somebody else say that. You're just copying them. You're just a parrot. That's all it is. It's all right to follow some things and some people as long as it's going in the right direction. And there's some things that you need to follow after in your walk with Jesus Christ. Turn back to Matthew chapter 4 with me. Matthew chapter 4. We sing songs about following the Savior. We sing songs about following on and doing the things that we need to be doing. In this same book that we just got singing from, 398, the name of the song is Follow On. Follow, follow. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere He leads me, I would follow, follow on, walking in His footsteps till the crown be won. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere He leads me, I would follow on. Follow, follow Him. Nothing wrong with following. One of the things you need to follow in your Christian walk is, number one, you need to follow Jesus Christ. Follow Him. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. What are they doing? What are they doing? They're working. They're doing their job. They're making their living. They're trying to earn money, to be able to eat, to have a place to live, to do the things that they need to be doing. They're working. They're earning money. They're doing their job. And then along comes a stranger and walks up and says, hey, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they said, well, yeah, but I'm just not sure how I'm going to make a living. That's not what happened. What's the next verse say? And they forsook their nets, I'm pretty sure, doesn't it? Does it say that they forsook their nets? No, excuse me. Straightway they left their nets and followed Him. What does that word straightway mean? Right now. Immediately. Jesus Christ walks up. I mean, a total stranger. If a total stranger came walking in here this morning, and he comes walking through, you know, with his long flowing robe and all that kind of stuff, you know. And he comes walking in, and he walks up to Brother Brian and says, hey, Come on, let's go. And then turns around to walk off. I mean, he's sitting there looking at me going. I dare say if somebody walked in here and did that, most of us would say, you're out of your mind. And I'd probably pull a gun on him and think he was crazy. But Jesus, this stranger, that I mean, listen, they don't even know. This stranger walks up and says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And with one statement with enough power in it, those guys said, we need to follow this guy for some reason. I'm really not sure why, but we need to follow him. The same thing happened to me whenever we moved down to go to school. And I thought to myself, I mean, I was in such turmoil because somebody told me, well, you're just following a man. You're just following a man. And I thought, but I know that I need to go. Am I just following a man? And then I thought to myself, no, I'm doing what Jesus Christ told me to do. I'm not following a man. I'm going somewhere where I can get the truth preached to me that I can't find just anywhere else. And that's where God wants me to go. So I'm going. And if nobody likes it, tough apples. I don't care. Man, you know, it's not really going to hurt me none. Follow Jesus Christ. These guys walked up, or Jesus walked up, and for no apparent reason, these guys just turned around and said, all right, we're going to follow him. And that's the way it happened with the rest of them. Went and got his brother and said, hey, man, we found this one. Boy, you need to come. Let's go. Let's go. And they took off and followed Jesus Christ. Nothing wrong with following Christ, is there? Can anybody in here find something wrong with following Jesus Christ to go anywhere? To go anywhere. Anybody find a reason to not follow him? Nope. Nope. There are certain people that Jesus said, he's not worthy to follow me. You know, the guy that says, well, you know, I got my field over here. Let me go plow it first. And when I get done plowing my field. Solomon said in Proverbs, the plowing of the wicked is sin. Why is the plowing of the wicked sin? Why would that be? The plowing of the wicked. A lost man that's out plowing his field. That's sin for him. Why is that sin for him? Because seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. That lost man should be seeking God. He should be seeking the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom of God, and Jesus Christ. So everything that a lost man does, even down to just plowing his field, is a sin. Do you realize how much sin a lost person is going to have to account for when he gets to the great white throne judgment? Do you have any idea? It's piled up so high that nobody can even fathom all the sin that he's going to have to pay for. Because everything he did in his life is a sin. Why? Because he didn't seek ye first the kingdom of God. Everything that he did, his whole life is nothing but sin. God have mercy. Man, alive, that's awful. That's awful. Thank God my sins are under the blood. And I don't have to worry about that whenever the time comes. I don't have to worry about that. I'm going to be judged as a son. And my father's going to look at me and say, son, you did wrong here. And I'll have to be chastised for it. But thank God he's not going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Got a guy that I work with, he says, well, you can get saved today and lose it tomorrow and get it back the next day. And I thought to myself, well, that's stupid. And he is bound and determined that he has to keep his salvation, which obviously that works. I mean, can anybody else see that? Can anybody else see that if you keep your salvation, then it's not in Christ's hands. It's in your hands, right? So he says, well, yeah, you got to work to keep your salvation. And I mean, he don't even make any sense whenever you talk to him. There is no reasoning with somebody that's like that. There is no rational answers to someone that's like that. And I thought to myself, how could you get saved on Sunday, lose it on Monday, get it back on Tuesday, die on Wednesday, and Jesus look at you and say, depart from me, for I never knew you? Well, he sure did know you. He knew you on Monday. Right? And he knew you on Wednesday when you got it back. And, you know, however many other times you got it back. I'll tell you, one of the best ways to trip up one of them, ask him, have you ever lost your salvation? What's the answer they give you? Nope. Well, I guess you're holier than me, aren't you? I just looked at him and said, hey, that's fine. Go ahead and keep working your way. I'm going to heaven. And I don't care what happens to me. I'm going to heaven. He told me that if a man's lost, and his kid's not reached the age of accountability yet, if a man's lost, then his kid goes to hell too. And I thought to myself, at that second, God said, just turn him off and leave him alone. I said, all right. Just backed off of him. I said, all right, man, have fun. Man, that's rough. That's rough. Follow Christ. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow on. Anywhere he leads me, I will follow on. In my life, since I've been saved, I have followed Christ in so many different directions. Some of you look at me and say, man, you're crazy. You're crazy. I am. Amen. I mean, we have followed Christ to go in several different directions. The steps of a good man are ordered by who? The Lord. That's what Solomon said. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Not ordered by you. Not ordered by your preacher. Not ordered by anybody else. They're ordered by the Lord. So when God says, step in this direction, what do? Step in this direction. And you have no idea what he's going to put in front of you. I can remember being at Walmart gas station one night. This has been years ago. Walmart gas station, weather colder than this, freezing cold. Pull up at the gas station, gonna get some gas, and the Lord said, witness to those two boys sitting over there, teenage boys, probably 18, 19 years old. He says, witness to those two boys. Bridget and I are sitting in the car together, just us. He says, witness to those two boys sitting in the car. Okay. So I'm thinking, yeah, whatever, teenagers. You know, teenagers are not going to listen to me, you know. So I got a couple of tracts out and walked over there, and I said, hey, boys, let me give you something to read. And I gave it to them, and they said, all right, thank you. And I turned around to walk off, and the Lord said, you ain't done yet. And as soon as that happened, one of the kids said, what's this? And I turned around and I said, well, that's a gospel tract. It'll tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks a lot. And I started to walk off again, and the Lord said, you ain't done yet. Long story short, before the meeting was over with them, I was behind this big block wall with one of them, freezing cold. The kid was on his hands and knees begging God to save him, and she was with the other boy leading him to Christ right outside the car. You have no idea what's going to happen when you follow Christ. I mean, this kid was, shivering. He was so cold. I took a jacket off and laid it on top of him to help him. I mean, he was freezing. You follow Christ, and you have no idea what'll happen. You have no idea what'll happen. These guys had no idea. Jesus Christ comes by and says, hey, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He wasn't going to stand there and say, oh, please, would you please come with me with a cherry on top? I mean, I've got some good things to give you. Would you please just come follow me? I see so many parents saying, hey, kids, come here. Kids, come here. Kids, come here. Kids, right now. Now, look, I'm getting tired of asking you. Now, one more time. Now, I told you, and it just keeps going on. Jesus Christ ain't like that. He passes by your way and says, follow me. You follow him? Hallelujah. He'll give you light for the rest of the journey. You don't follow him? He'll say, all right. And he'll walk off. The other night, I guess that was Thursday night, we were talking about being on the train. Everybody that was here Thursday night, you remember being on the train? And I talked about the train going by and people are getting on the train. And the train comes by the depot and pulls up and stops. And, buddy, whenever that guy gets out and says, all aboard, that's it. Train's moving. And if you wait too late, you'll step off and you'll break your full neck on the tracks. When Jesus Christ says follow, you better follow. You better step out and follow him. You follow him when it hurts. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 21. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. That's hard. God just lost his dad. And Jesus comes by and says, follow me. The guy says, wait a minute. Let me bury my father first. You follow Jesus Christ even when it hurts. Even when it hurts. Even when it hurts and you don't really want to do it. Follow him when it hurts, no matter what it costs. No matter what it costs. And it may cost you to follow Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm not going to be no Joel Osteen to get up here and say, if you follow Christ, then you'll be rich and you'll have wealth untold. And all your problems are going to be gone. And you're just going to live in a bed of roses for the rest of your life. That's hogwash. Down south, we call it malarkey. Anybody know what malarkey is? That's a bunch of malarkey. There's a few other words you can use for that too. Paul calls it dung. You want an update version for that one? Follow Christ, even when it hurts. Even when it hurts. It may cost you some family members. It may cost you some close friends that you used to have. Amen. It may cost you. Might cost you some money. It may cost you your finances. It may cost you a lot of stuff. It may cost you some stable living. It may cost you a little bit of, what do you call that? Security of knowing that you're set up and ready to go. It may cost you. It may cost you. But it'll be worth it. The old song says, it'll be worth it after all, child. It'll be worth it after all. Follow Christ when it hurts. Follow Christ when it is hard. In Matthew 16, verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let him deny himself and take up his cross. What does that cross represent? Cross represents a curse, man. Take up his cross. It's hard. And follow me. Follow me. I think about Juan coming up here during this play and carrying the cross of Jesus, you know. How many of you know where that is found out in the Bible? What was that guy's name that came up and carried the cross? Anybody know? Simon. Anybody know what Simon's boy's name was? Anybody know what one of his boy's names was? Rufus. Anybody remember that? Anybody remember that? Anybody know what the name Rufus means? Rufus. Now this is Simon's son, Rufus. Simon's the one that picked up that bloody cross that Christ had and carried it. Okay? Rufus. Anybody know what Rufus means? The word Rufus means one red drop. How about that? How about that? Jesus gets whipped for Simon's sins. And Simon, the Cyrene, picks up that cross and carries it. You know, he got blood all over him. And that blood went from him down to his son, one red drop. There ain't no telling what'll happen when you follow Jesus Christ, because that blood might just trickle off of you and onto your kids. That blood might just trickle off of you and get onto your grandkids. I want my kids to be able to stand up in church and say, glory to God! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I want my grandkids to see their parents doing the same thing. And I want my grandkids to be able to thank God for who He is and for what He's done for them. And it all happens because somebody's got to step out and follow Christ. You've got to follow Him. You have to decide in your heart, I'm going to do it. And the old saying is, come hell or high water. I'm doing it. And I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop following Jesus Christ, because it's worth it, not just for me, but for those after me. It's worth it to follow Him. There's a song that we listen to on one of the CDs in the car, and it says, I choose to be a Christian. I choose to be a Christian. Listen, it's a conscious choice. It's not being forced to be a Christian. It's a conscious choice that you have to make. I choose to follow Jesus Christ. And those that don't like it, I'm not mad at them. They just don't understand what they're missing. They don't understand it. Why is this church not full this morning of saved people that want to listen to Christ? Because they choose not to listen. They choose not to listen. I didn't say they weren't saved. I said they just choose not to listen to Christ. They just choose not. It's a conscious choice that you have to make to follow Jesus Christ. You have to follow Him consciously. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You need to follow Christ. Follow Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and your Christian walk. You need to follow charity. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1 says, follow after charity. And desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. He says, follow charity. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse number 19. Romans 14, 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. You're looking to help somebody else. You're looking to help somebody else. You're looking to do something for someone else. You're looking for charity. You're not looking to receive charity, but you want to give charity to someone else. You want to have grace with someone else. And Paul says, follow after charity. Be nice to somebody else for one time in your cotton-picking life. Be nice to someone else. The people in this church are pretty nice. Most of you are. That's one of the first things that we noticed when we moved here was the fact that people are actually nice and charitable people, like just for no reason. They just want to be nice to you. And I'm not used to that. I mean, for no reason, hey, we just want to be nice to you. Just want to be nice. And I thought, wow. One of the first things I noticed about Pastor was the fact that he's got a lot of charity about him. Anybody else notice that? He's charitable. He just has a lot of charity. I don't possess that. I wish I did, and I'm really trying. You say, how do you know he's got a lot of charity? Because my dog's killed plenty of his pigs, and he still likes me. And he's killed plenty of his chickens, and he still likes me. And he talks to me, you know. Charity. Paul says, follow after charity. We live in a self-absorbed world where nobody wants to give anything. You get on Facebook and find all these stupid charity things, give to this and give to that and give to this and give to that. And people will give to some charity that is in Africa that they don't even know about. But you get some guy that walks by, this bum walking down the street that needs food. Honestly needs food. Not one of these that stands out there, you know, with a sign that says, let's face it, I need a beer. I mean people that are trying to do right, and they know somebody that is trying to do right, and they just don't have much. And they'll go past them like that. They'll just walk past them. They'll just walk past them. Withhold not good to him whom it is due when thou hast it by thee. Solomon said that. If you got what somebody else needs, give it to them. Be charitable. Charitable. That's hard for us, isn't it? That's hard for Christians to do. That's hard. That's hard for us as Americans to do. It's hard. It's all mine. It's all mine. It's all mine. Anybody ever hear that thing that says, me and my four and no more? Not me. I'm just going to take care of mine and that's it. That's all. So, I mean, everybody else, I mean, you know, they're going to have to fend for themselves. Not in my backyard. It's all right for everybody else, but not here. Not here. I'm just going to keep it right here. That's how a lot of Christians are with their own spirituality, with their own Christianity. You know, they want to act like Christians here, but when they get outside, it's a little bit different. You know, be charitable. Be charitable. Take it outside of here. Take it outside of here. Do something nice for somebody this week. Do something nice for a lost person this week. Well, that's a challenge, isn't it? Do something nice for somebody else. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Follow Christ. Follow charity. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 4, verse number 16 says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Who wrote that? Paul. Paul said, be ye followers of me. 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 1. Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. You find a guy that's following Jesus Christ? Walk with him. Follow him. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. You say, why not? Because he's following Jesus Christ. Remember the thing that I told you at the very start of it? You got the devil, the Pied Piper, playing his little flute, and everybody's following him? Well, the person that's at the head of that march is evil and wicked, right? If the person that's at the head of the march is Jesus Christ, then follow him because he knows where to go. He knows which way to go. He knows the path to go down. And you don't have to worry about where it's going to end up at. It leadeth unto life eternal. That's where it leads up at. Follow him. Follow Christian examples. Paul said, follow me. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. Paul said, follow me. Follow me. Be followers of me, Paul said. Follow Christian examples. Philippians chapter 3, you're there, looking verse number 10. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, and so on and so forth. Follow Paul's example of knowing God. Paul had a hunger and a thirst and a desire on the inside of him. He didn't want anything else. He said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Galatians 2:20, he said, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, he said, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul's life was Christ. For to me to live is Christ. He said, when Christ, who is your life, shall appear. That's all life was for Paul. That's all it was. When he was in prison, his life was Christ. When he was in the synagogue, his life was Christ. When he's out healing people, his life was Christ. When he's preaching to people, his life is Christ. When he's with the disciples, his life is Christ. When he's with lost people, his life is Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ for Paul. So follow Paul's example that he set forth for us and make your life all about Christ. All of it. All of it. People say, well, you get too heavenly minded that you won't be any earthly good. Are you serious? Are you serious? That's too easy, man. You'd be too heavenly minded that you won't be any earthly good. I'll tell you the trouble with most Christians and most of us, we're too worldly minded that we're no heavenly good. Too worldly minded that we're no heavenly good. Follow Paul's example of knowing God. Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6, verse 3 says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Hosea the prophet said, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. To know the Lord. I want to know Jesus Christ better today than I did yesterday. Now, I'm not always like that, and I'm not saying I'm holier than thou and all that kind of stuff. But we ought to have a desire in us to know Jesus Christ better tomorrow than we knew him today. That should be part of our prayer. Lord, help me to love you more tomorrow than I did today when you close your eyes at night to go to sleep. Lord, help me to think of you in my thoughts while I sleep. Lord, don't let me drift off and mess around. Listen, stay close to him. Stay close to the shepherd. Stay close to him. You guys know the story about, you know, how the shepherd would take the sheep that keeps going off and break his leg. You guys know that story? How many of you know that story in here? Have ever heard that? Yeah. Because once he breaks his leg and picks it up and carries it for the next month while it heals, once it's healed and ready to go, he puts it down and it doesn't go nowhere else. It stays right there next to him because it's been up resting in his bosom for so long. As a Christian, you and I should rest in his bosom for so long. That's why John leaned on his breast during the supper. That's why John was leaning in there, because he wanted to be close to him. I want to be so close to him that I can hear his heartbeat in my ear, and all he's got to do is whisper to me, and I can hear it and say, yes, what's that? Okay, Lord. Man, know him. Know him. Don't just be saved and sit on your blessed assurance and do nothing. Know him. And get close to him. I dare you. I dare you. Some of you proud, hateful people in here, I dare you. I dare you to get close to Christ and see what happens. Can I be bold for a second? Some of you young men and older men ain't got the guts to do it because you're scared. You're scared. You're scared of what it'll cost you. Don't stand up and act like, well, I'm a big man, I can do this. You're scared to death. You're scared to death. I challenged the youth this morning. We were sitting back there talking. And I challenged them. I said, one of you go into Walmart this week or coming up at some point when it's crowded Black Friday would be the perfect time to do it. Walk into Walmart and stand there in the checkout line with tons of people around you and say, "Hey, whoa, whoa, everybody listen up, listen up. I want you to know I love Jesus Christ." And then pay for your stuff. Some of you men ain't got the guts. Some of you men ain't got the guts to do it. You'd be scared to death. And when you do it, you're going to be scared to death. Do it. I dare you. Try it. And then come back to me and let me know how it goes. Go out on the street corner sometime in a busy afternoon with people walking around, cars driving by yourself. Not with 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 15 other people with you. By yourself. Stand on a street corner and take a Bible with you. Just an old black Bible. Not one of these pretty Bibles, you know, not a purple one, not a green one, not a blue one, not a burgundy one, an old black Bible. And the first chance you get, lift up that thing and hold it up here to your mouth and say, "Thus saith the Lord, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Do that and see what happens. You'll be scared to death. I know, because I've done it. Scared out of your shoes. Get to know Christ a little bit better. Follow Paul's examples. You know, Paul did that. Paul would get in the middle of a crowd. And he'd say, "Hey, hey, everybody listen up, listen up. I got a message for you." And boy, man, I mean, he preached to him. I mean, hard too. You say, how do you know he was preaching hard? Because they stoned him. They said, "Get out of here. We don't want to hear you." And stoned him and killed him. "We don't want nothing to do with you." That's in 2 Corinthians. They stoned him. Try it sometime. Try it sometime. Listen, I'm not trying to be hateful to you whenever I talk like that. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to find just one person in here. I'm trying to find one person that's sitting back there looking at me saying, "I'll show you. I'll show you. You think I'm a coward? You just watch, old man. Go ahead. Prove me wrong." I'd love for you to prove me wrong. Prove me wrong and do it one time and come back and tell me how it goes. If you got somebody with you, have them take a video of it. I want to see it. I want to see it. I want to know what a real man looks like. 1 Thessalonians, Hebrews chapter 13. I've already touched on this a little bit. Hebrews chapter 13. Follow Christian examples. You got Paul that's laid out there. You got Paul that's laid out. Follow him. Follow him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 7. "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow." Follow. He's talking about a person. He says, "whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." He says, somebody that's got the rule over you. That doesn't mean like the Lord of the flock. He has some rule over you. You know who else you ought to follow? You ought to follow your pastor. You ought to follow him. He says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God." Has he spoken to us the word of God? He sure has, faithfully, for several years. And he's never wavered. And he keeps going. Follow him. Follow him. You find a man that can lead a bunch of people, you find a man that can lead a bunch of people, and they will follow him to hell with gasoline breeches on. Like that, simply because he says, "I think we need to do this." All right, let's go, preacher. Let's go. Let's go. Whatever you say, we're going to do it. Because he's following Christ. And he's not going to lead you off the wrong way. Because he's pushing you toward Christ and this book. He pushes you to this book. Follow him. Listen to him. He's not dumb, okay? He's a pretty smart fella. Pretty smart guy. And he knows Christ better than anybody that I've met yet. I'm telling you, that bird walks with God. And you may not realize it sometimes, but he walks with God. When he's outside working by himself, he ain't out there just working. He's out there talking to God. I've watched him do it. I've seen him do it. I've watched him do it. I mean, I have literally snuck up on him and watched him do it. He's hard to sneak up on, but I've watched him do it. I've watched him. I mean, he'll be out there splitting wood. He'll be out there digging a hole. He'll be picking tomatoes. He'll be digging up potatoes. He'll be doing anything outside, washing the car. He'll be working on the car. And I've watched him. He'll be doing this. Moving his mouth. Moving his mouth. Is he a whack job talking to himself? He's talking to the Lord. He's talking to the Lord. That's some of the best time you can have, spending with God when you're by yourself doing something, just talking to Him. Talking to Him. Spending time with Him. Follow Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll move quickly here. I got to close up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I tell you what. Turn to 1 Timothy. I lied to you. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 11. This pretty much just kind of touches on what we've been already talking about. Follow Christ, follow charity, follow Christian examples. Number 4, follow clean living. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Those are all good things, aren't they? If I'm not mistaken, I think they pretty well line up with Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. A lot of those are, right? Follow after clean living. Live right. Live clean. This is a saying that I've given to a lot of kids, a lot of young kids and teenagers and on up to adults, but I try to spend most of the time dealing with kids about it. And if you'll keep this in your mind, I swear it'll help you. I know you're not supposed to swear. It'll help you. It'll help you. If it's doubtful, it's dirty. Anybody ever hear that before? Raise your hand if you've ever heard that. If it's doubtful, it's dirty. Okay? One more time with gusto. If it's doubtful, it's dirty. If there's any doubt in your mind that you should do something, if you're thinking, I'm not sure about this, it's dirty. Treat it like it's dirty and don't do it. And that'll help you make the right decisions throughout your life. If you have hesitation, if there's something in you that says, I'm just not sure, then you better step back from it and hold off and say, God, what do you want me to do? And wait for an answer from Him. Take it from somebody that has plenty of times went in my own power and did my own thing and messed up so many times when I had something inside of me saying, you better not do that, and I made the choice anyway, and then I wound up biting me in the hind end. Be careful with the way you live. Clean living. Paul said, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And then he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Clean living. Follow after clean living. Lastly, follow Christ. You say, you already started with that. Sure did. Start off with Jesus Christ. Follow Him. If you're here this morning and saved, say amen. If you're here this morning and saved, say amen. That's a little bit better. If you're saved, say amen. That's good for you. That's good for you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Some of you are like, amen. And then the second time you were like, amen. And then the third time you're like, I wish he'd stop asking that. Amen. It helps you. It helps you. You know what? If you'd let loose one time and say, amen, it'd be so much easier the next time. It'd be so much easier. We're from the South. People in the South are loudmouths. I mean, they are so obnoxiously loud. Amen. I mean, you go to the South and you go to a good Bible-believing Baptist church, it ain't just the singing where people are getting stirred up and shouting and having a good time. During the preaching, I mean, the preacher be up there preaching, man. I mean, somebody be, yeah, come on, preacher, tell it, go ahead. Preach it! Just hollering. Well, I mean, just having a good time. You Northerners are a little quiet. makes me nervous when I come up here to preach. Follow Christ. Follow Christ. Started out with following Jesus Christ. If you're saved in here, you follow Him with everything you have. Give Him everything you have. Don't just give Him the first fruits. Give all of it to Him. That's a challenge. Give it all to Him and just see what He does with it. Give it all to Him. Follow Christ. Follow Christ. Revelation chapter 19. This is a different follow Christ. The first one was for people that are saved to follow Jesus Christ. You should follow Him in everything you do. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 11, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." This is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ at the second advent. Verse 12, "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." If you look in verse 8, you'll find out that that linen is for the righteousness of the saints. You know who that is following him? That's me. And that's you if you're saved. You're coming back with him on a white horse with him. Some of them old timers down in the hills, they say, "Oh, we don't like that old white horse preaching." Nah, boy, I do. Man, that's hope. That's hope for me. I get to come back with him. Glory to God. I love horses too. Nothing like it, man. And listen, this ain't going to be no My Little Pony. It's going to be a stallion. Arabian white stallion, man. No saddles on it, bareback the whole way. I'm going to grab a hold of the mane on that sucker and I'm going to say, "Charge! Let's go! Follow that guy up there! Follow him!" If you're saved, you get to take part in that. You get to take part in that. I don't believe that. Oh, well. I guess you're going to be surprised when he puts you up on a stallion and you say, "What's this? What am I doing here?" Have fun. You don't have to know what to do. That stallion don't know what to do. Just follow that one up there that's in the front. If you're saved, you get to take part in that. If you're lost, you don't get to take part in that. You don't get to take part in that. You know where you're going to be at? If you're still alive at that point, you're going to be one of the ones that he comes down and a sharp sword goes out of his mouth. His eyes are as a flame of fire. There'd be a path of fire in his back in the back of him after he goes through there where it all burns. Wrath. You know what you have to look forward to? If you're lost, you have God's wrath to look forward to. You have God's wrath. Boy, that's sad. That's sad. Revelation 14:10 says, "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." That's what you have to look forward to. So my message to you this morning, are you saved? Follow Christ. Are you lost? You need to follow Christ. You better get a hold of him and you better get saved right now. Say, "I've been in church my whole life." I didn't ask you if you've been in church your whole life. You better get saved, and you better get saved right now. Right now. You better not wait. You better not wait. You better go ahead and do it right now. If you wait, you might not have another chance. What if the rapture happened right now? We're gone. You're still here. Follow Christ at his coming. Follow Christ at his coming. Paul said, "I beseech you, I'm begging you, get saved today, right now. Don't wait. Don't wait." Let's stand for prayer. Sister, if you'll come to the piano, she's going to come and she's going to play through just a couple of verses of a song. Nobody looking around this morning, I want to ask you a question. Are you saved? Most of you? I could hear most of you say amen. Praise the Lord for it. Are you lost? Are you lost? There's plenty of people across this world that have walked down the aisle at a church service and got saved, and people said, "Wow, I didn't know that." That's okay. That's okay. Are you saved this morning? If you are, follow Christ. Follow Christ. There's an altar right down here. You can come and talk to Christ, and you can follow Him today, right now, this morning. This morning, you can follow Him right now. Maybe you haven't been following Him like you should. You can come this morning, and you can find rest, and you can find peace in knowing that you're following Jesus Christ the absolute best way you know how. He's not going to find no fault with you with that. Give it to Him this morning. Come and give it to Him. If you're lost this morning, you can be saved. And you can follow Jesus Christ. You can follow Jesus Christ in salvation. Come. Come and be saved. The invitation's there, and it's free. It's free. While she's playing, you come quickly. Come quickly. Thank you for coming this morning. Pray for Pastor and pray for Janet, and I pray that they get back safely. Amen. Anything need to be said before we go? What's that? I can hear somebody talking, but I don't see them. Oh, platforms. Are we moving the platforms? Is that what you're trying to say? Speak into my good ear. Okay. Platforms need to be moved back to the bus barn, so we need some men to take care of that for us. All right, Brother Catterman, if you would dismiss us in prayer, please.